This is Hunter Wallace, and you're listening to Radio Free Virginia. It is Thursday, May 6, 2010. As usual, we're here in Charlottesville. I'm joined by my co-host, Pip Pockets.
How you doing, Hunter?
Pretty well. Pretty good. Pretty good. But anyway, the title of today's podcast is, I haven't decided whether to call it Snatching Defeat from the Jaws of Victory or Digging Our Own Grave. I mean, either title could be appropriate to what we're going to discuss. Well, last week the podcast was about how we were feeling bullish, we were going positive, and we were optimistic, and we wanted to do a lot of things. Well, of course, the wavelength that we're thinking on is not exactly the wavelength that a lot of other people in the movement are thinking on right now. And that's become obvious with a few recent incidents that is going on. It doesn't really involve us, but it involves the movement as a whole. And the first thing we want to talk about is, pull that up, is this whole situation with the BNP over in Britain. And yesterday, we actually did a podcast about this last night, but I got interrupted and had to cut it short while we were doing it. But anyway, over in Britain, two things are going on. This guy named, what's his name?
Simon Bennett.
Yeah, Simon Bennett, who controls apparently the BNP website, waited till, was it the day before the election or the day of the election or whatever, to hijack the website and send it to and redirect it to his blog, where he had a rant denouncing Nick Griffin and the incompetence of the BNP, which, of course, you know, every anti-racist, anti-fascist in Britain just loved and ran with the story. And now the story, apparently, according to the Times Online, has gone viral over there. And it just makes the BNP look like a bunch of idiots. So that's one. That Simon Bennett is one guy who puts his own pride and vanity and individualism above the best interests of the movement as a whole. And he's causing a lot of trouble over there. And if he had a problem with the leadership, he should have took it up with the leadership and, you know, not try to. I mean, you got to think the BNP is actually a political party of lots of ordinary people, and you know they should come first, not his personal grievances with the leadership. And in other news, I want to say this happened on the same day. One of the BNP's guys, he's running. His name's Bob Bailey. He's running for was it parliament or?
He's running for parliament. Yep.
Or a council seat or something.
Something like that.
Yeah, and he's running over there, and these Asians were pelting Nick Griffin, the BNP, with fruit or vegetables or something like that. And they approached him, and they spit on him, and so he went all epic beard man and attacked the guy. And now the 18-year-old kid is filing assault charges, and the headlines in the press is like, fascist BNP thugs, you know, attack poor, innocent Asian minority. And, you know, we were thinking that this could break one of two ways. It could be bad for the BNP in that right before the election, people don't have time to research the story for themselves and see through the media bias. So it might hurt their chances in the election coming up. Or it actually might be positive for them, and you had something that you wanted to say about
it. Yeah, it could be very positive for them, because the BNP, they claim they fight for the British people. That's their theme, and this shows they are. I mean, take J.D. Hayworth in Arizona. Imagine if J.D. Hayworth was down there campaigning, and an illegal immigrant came up, started pushing him around, spit in his face, and J.D. Hayworth threw some punches at him, fought back, defended himself. Hayworth's numbers would go through the roof. This could work very well for them. You know, the idea of standing up to the invaders, standing up to the Asians or Pakistanis. And the British people could love that. I mean, and if you look at the video, the kid really screwed himself, because spitting in somebody's face does count as assault. So it was defending himself. So the kid really screwed himself in this angle, and it could really help the BNP in that sense. It could go either way.
Well, that's the situation. Oh, yeah, and how could I forget? There's a third story going on in Britain, and I believe this one is from like a week or so ago or a few weeks ago. I heard about it, and that's this, what's his name, Mark Collett?
Collett
or something. He was an important figure over in the BNP, and then he had this huge falling out with Nick Griffin. And I want to say somebody, I want to say Nick Griffin was going around saying that there was like an assassination plot against him, and like
I didn't hear any of this.
And there was some kind of threat of a coup, like in the BNP, to overthrow his leadership. So anyway, you know, over in Britain, you have the BNP, and you got to give them credit. You got to say they're at least they're better organized than we are, and they have something going over there, even if we don't agree with them on every issue. And so you got all these personalities over there who are causing trouble for the party, and that's just not good. And that I mean you look over there and you see what they're doing, and
compared to here,
and even they you know are having problems with this as far as they come, which brings us back across the Atlantic to discuss this whole situation, which has been developing on the OD forum, and not just the OD forum, but I mean it's really affects the whole movement as a whole, and there's been a lot of recent incidents that relate to this lately, and that's the fact that a lot of these veterans of the movement, these old timers, I mean, they just cannot get along.
No.
And you have, okay, on the forum right now, you have Martin Lindstedt and Will Williams are going at it. And, of course, I want to say Will Williams has a huge issue with Harold Covington, and they hate each other, and there's a lawsuit there over, I want to say that Covington accused Will Williams of, like, being the third bomber of Oklahoma City, and, like, he sued Covington. And you know, I think he won. I'm not sure about this. I think Will Williams did win, and there was a big judgment against Covington, and that's why Covington's not allowed to talk about Will Williams anymore. But anyway, you got this complicated system of alliances, and you got Pastor Martin Lindstedt, who's allied with Covington, and then you got, of course, Will Williams, who's allied with Glenn Miller.
And then
you have Glenn Miller and Glenn Miller hates Harold Covington too, and Glenn Miller hates Glenn Miller and Pastor Lindstedt famously hate each other. A few years ago, they threatened to fight each other in the parking lot of Walmart in Aurora, Missouri, and that was and of course that was just, you know, a barrel of laughs. If now that I remember that, but you got these four people who are fighting, and you know, it's Lindstedt and Covington on one side, and Miller and Williams on the other, and they've all been around for decades, and then of course, you know, recently Richard Barrett in Mississippi was murdered, and of course, even I pointed this out at the time that Barrett had the distinction of like being on the bad side of everyone in the movement, so people hated him too, and apparently Don Black really really despises him. And was saying all along that, you know, this guy was really was a queer, and like he probably really did, you know, proposition this black guy, and so I think it's been fairly established that Don Black hated Richard Barrett. And then of course, let's not forget our good friend Jim Giles of Radio Free Mississippi.
Jim,
I want to say I checked into his podcast last night, and he actually went to the McGee trial about Richard Barrett in Mississippi, and I couldn't make it through 5 minutes of Radio Free Mississippi before I just turned it off. And so, you know, Richard Barrett and Jim Giles were blood enemies in Mississippi, and there's another whole history of lawsuits there. So of course, so you got Don Black versus Richard Barrett, and you got Jim Giles versus Richard Barrett, and there's all kinds of other people who have said negative things about Richard Barrett. I never knew the guy. But I mean, and the only thing that's really remarkable here is how, I mean, everybody in the movement seems to hate each other or who's been around for the longest time,
yeah,
just hates each other. Just doesn't get along. And
I mean, it's an interesting.
It's an interesting thing.
I mean, we're in our 20s, and in this movement, we go to different conferences like AMREN this past year. We go to different things like this and our own travels. It seems like the younger guys get along better than the older guys. You know, like us 20-year-olds, we hang out, we talk, we have our differences, but we're like, okay, we got a bigger thing to deal with. It seems like the younger guys get along better than the old guys. What do you think of that, Hunter?
And while I was sitting here, like listening to you talk, I thought of two other examples that come to mind. And of course, the first one would be, you know, David Duke versus David Duke versus his whole group of detractors, who include this guy. Who wrote that article about David Duke? It ended up in Robert Friends or something of FAM or something like that. And he wrote an article attacking William Pierce, and he wrote an article attacking David Duke. So David Duke has got a lot of enemies in the movement, and of course William Pierce had his own enemies. Like even when Pierce was alive, he famously could not get along with was it Willis Carto?
Oh, Carto.
Yeah, yeah. He had this long feud with Carto. And then, of course, you know, look at the Institute for Historical Review.
Carto and Weber.
Yeah, Carto versus Mark Weber. And let's not forget. I mean, how could I ever forget this one? And that's the idea that, of course, you know, Jared Taylor is a Jew plant.
Oh, yeah. A Jew plant, and
Amran is controlled by the Jews. And so you have Alex Linder, who hates Jared Taylor and calls Jared Taylor the polished turd. And then you have, let's see, on top of that, then you have Alex Linder versus Greg Johnson in TOQ, you know, a few months ago when Alex was laying into Greg Johnson, and then I got involved in that. And so, I mean, nobody in this movement seems to get along. Or there are so many fault lines that just come to mind. And who can forget? Oh, there's another one. What about Tom Metzger versus his various enemies? And then of course, you know, you got Harold Covington, who everybody seems to hate. And then he has his own following in the Northwest. So the situation in America is you got all these various, I'd say, what would be the word for them? Various
factions
and warlords, and absolutely none of them can get along, and there's no one central dynamic leader like, you know, let's say Adolf Hitler, who could ever come along and like possibly unite all these people.
But what do you think of my idea? Like I just said, like right. If you look at the younger guys, like Richard, like us, like other members, we seem to get along better than the older guys. We seem to see there's a bigger picture involved than their own little individual egos.
Oh yeah, and speaking of older guys, you just gave me two more examples while you gave me time to think about it. Actually, of all the older guys, the one that is respected the most is undoubtedly Dr. Kevin MacDonald. Mm. And most people do seem to get along with him or like him. He seems to be admired in like most of all camps. Even in the Jared Taylor camp, where they don't talk about the Jews. I mean, he's never said anything negative about Dr. MacDonald. And, you know, I would say, you know, Dr. MacDonald and Jared Taylor get along fine.
Seems like it.
And, of course, speaking of the older guys around, you got Peter Brimlow, who a lot of people like over at VNN dislike. So this is just another, and of course, Brimlow has nothing but contempt for a bunch of other people. And you see, the more we talk about this, the more people that come to mind. Lawrence Oster, of V for the Right.
Larry
Oster, you know, hates everybody and can't get along with anybody. So Larry Oster's fighting with Alternative Right and Richard Hoste. And then, of course, you know, Richard Hoste is fighting all these people that come to mind. In fact, I think, what's his from that? Fernandez Bartomeu? And anyway, so they don't get along. And, okay, what do I have written down here?
See, this is why I said in an earlier broadcast, I have no use for the older guys in this movement. They've pissed away 40 years in blood feuds over tiny bullshit. They're like little gang members fighting over a block of turf. It's the most fucking stupidest thing. They get along. Like I said, the younger guys seem to get along better. We have a bigger picture of things than the old guys because we don't have a memory of the old America. Okay? This idea that there's different white factions. Okay? I'm 26. And every other young guy I meet in their 20s in this movement, they feel the same way I do. We don't know the old Buchanan America, the old 50s America. We just know multicultural America. So we have a bigger view of things, so we don't have time for this faction bullshit.
Well, let me interrupt you here because, you know, I really do have to say that, you know, in the past, you know, I've really speaking personally, you know, I have quarreled with a lot of people. And I have, you know, blood enemies on the internet just like anybody else. And the more I think about it, and, you know, the more you got all this stuff going on, you got the BNP stuff over there, and you see what's happening with those people over there. And then you got all these people fighting over here in the United States and denouncing each other and calling each other a Jew and a federal informant and a race traitor and what have you. I have, you know, in the past, I have feuded with people, and since OD, you know, three people come to mind, and that's, one would be Guy White, and that's been over for months, and I don't really argue with him now, and I think he kind of respects me, he came to, at least. He calls me the one reasonable anti-Semite. So let's scratch that one off. And then, of course, back in December, I had that big fallout with Jim Giles and Alex Linder, and, you know, that was just, you know, in hindsight, it was a mistake on my part.
You shouldn't have dealt with Linder in the first place.
I shouldn't. I thought I could go over there to VNN and I could convince Linder to pull his act together and get back to doing stuff and doing productive stuff. And I think Johnson had the same idea, and that didn't work out. But both of us, you know, went over there and got embroiled in a feud with Alex Linder, and then that chain retard or whatever, like, posted all this crap about how, you know, I was like a government informant who had the KKK membership list and all this crap about half all this list and info on half a dozen groups I'd never even heard of before, based in like the Northeast, where I've never even been in my life. And you know, that was the whole Jim Giles stuff, and Alex Linder was a huge mistake on my part, and I regret getting involved in that. I should have just tuned them out to begin with and just focused on doing more productive stuff. And after that Giles interview, I should have just, like, said nothing about it and just ignored Giles in the future. But, you know, you know, speaking personally, you know, I've gone down this path, and I've really thought about it, and I just, I'm going on record here, and I won't. If I ever do this again, I want somebody to link back to this. This is one reason why I wanted to do this podcast, because if I ever start feuding with somebody like this again, like, let's say, Linder or Giles, I want people to play back this podcast where they can, like, hear me in a moment of reason. Well, oh yeah, and then, of course, you have everybody who hates Pat Buchanan. And
I don't understand that.
And then, of course, you know, Linder hated Sam Francis, too, famously. So what we're going to do is, what do I got written down here? Yeah, two commandments that we're going to adopt here at OD.
Okay.
And that is, number one, try to get along with everybody. And if we do have a problem with people, we just won't talk about, if we do have a problem with people, we'll just, like, take it up in private, and we won't do anything about that on the website. There won't be, like, such and such is an evil bastard.
Yeah.
Denounce him. We're not. I mean, that didn't even work, and it was a waste of time with Linder, so we're not going to do that again.
Good.
And not only is it the first commandment that, you know, we're going to try to get along with everybody and try to do what we can to diffuse tension and build bridges, is that we're going to focus on, like, doing positive things and just work. I mean, like, the main reason these people spend so much time fighting each other, is because they're not doing enough work. I've said this so many times. I said if they were so busy, like, doing productive stuff, if they were so busy, you know, let's say, like, Lindstedt. If Lindstedt was out building the Christian identity Aryan nation in Missouri, organizing his community 24/7, he wouldn't have time to come on the internet and like denounce all his enemies. And if Will was doing that in Tennessee, he wouldn't have time to bother with Lindstedt. And, of course, if Alex Linder, who talks about activism, was actually out doing activism, you know, he wouldn't have the time to do that himself. So, two commandments is to get along and be positive and busy ourselves with work to the point where we don't even have time to pick fights with people and nurse grudges. Oh, and let's see, the third thing, which is the last thing we're going to talk about, and we're not going to shed details about this, but there is another whole fiasco going on at the moment. There's a lot of infighting going on, and we're not going to name names, but it's just a really sad situation. And you know, it just hammers home the point that these things like personal grudges and no communication and busy people busying themselves with like attacking other people instead of like just pure like immersing themselves in work. I mean, just has the potential to blow up even the most successful organizations and social groups within our movement. And you know, that stuff is really striking close to home. And of course, you know, the last thing we want to do is get embroiled in this ourselves, and we're not going to do that. We're going to try to stay on good terms with everybody and just do as much work as we can. And if anybody's got a problem with that, you know, I mean, we're just going to try to do what's best for OD and what's best for the movement, I think. So you got all this stuff, like I said, and we're not going to name names, but people on the blog pretty much know what's going on. A lot of people on the blog do know what's going on, and we've spoken endlessly about this over the last few weeks, and that situation will, I don't know how it's going to resolve itself, but you know, it's been developing independently of anything we've been doing here at OD, and this is going on for almost a year now, and I don't know what's going to come of that. So we're just going to kind of try to, I don't know how we're going to resolve that situation, but we're going to keep doing our best. And so anyway, wrapping this up, the last thing, ending on a positive note, we always want to do that. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, this podcast has been just a total contrast to the one we did last week. And last week it was, we're excited, we're feeling bullish, we want to do more, we're optimistic. That's still how we're thinking. But it just goes, we're just, you know, showing like other people in the movement don't have this exact mindset.
Right.
So the last thing that comes to mind, and this is something productive that we could do here. Of course, you're imminently returning to the great state of New York.
Yes.
So we'll be doing this podcast over Skype in the future. But closer to home is that the city of Richmond, Virginia, has decided to join the boycott of Arizona. And I floated the idea, I posted about it on the forum, and I haven't really talked with anybody about it because we've had all this pretty much shit flying and going on the last few days. But I think it'd be a good idea if we could get some of our people together, anybody who'd be interested in this, and actually going to Richmond to hold a protest. Protest maybe, as Will Williams is saying, like, you know, they protested the various city governments in New England. Why can't we do that with Richmond? What do you think?
I think it's very good. I won't be there because I'll be on the road heading home tomorrow for personal reasons. But I say go for it. Sounds great. We need to be on the street, like we said, that last broadcast. That's what people want to see, on the boots activism. They want to see people being productive and actually fighting and doing things. So I say all for it. Go organize as hard as you can.
Exactly right. And what did I want to end this with? And I got it written down right here. And I have spoken endlessly on the blog, and we never got around to doing the podcast about conservatism.
We gotta do that, man.
And we will do that eventually. But one thing like, and I never thought I would ever have anything positive to say about Ronald Reagan. but this is a quote that Gregory Hood like lives by. It's his motto, and it's from Ronald Reagan, and it actually makes a lot of sense. And this, if we just adopted this in the pro-life movement, I mean, it would just so improve our situation. And that quote is, and let me repeat this: it's amazing what you can do when you don't care who gets the credit. Imagine if that quote was adopted as like the motto of the white nationalist movement. If people just worked and didn't care who got the credit for working, and put their own personal pride and ambitions and individualism aside and just worked and didn't care who got the credit. I mean, imagine where we could go.
Yeah.
The conservatives did it. The conservatives did it, and why can't we too?
Yeah.
And so that's the end of this podcast. This is Hunter Wallace, and you've been listening to Radio Free Virginia. We'll be joining you next time. Goodbye.